Thanks for tuning in to another episode of the Vamp Podcast. I'm your host, Mike Lafferty. With me today is my able-bodied English co-host, Adrian Smith. How you doing, Adrian?
Oh, pretty good, thank you.
Thanks for joining us. Appreciate that. I know it's a... what time is it there in England?
It's just gone 7 p.m., so early for me today.
Nice, yeah. And we also have Mr. Jeff D., a role-playing artist legend. How you doing, sir?
I'm doing well, Mike. Thanks. How are you?
Great. Appreciate you joining us. For listeners who might not be aware, and if they aren't, they've probably been living in a cave, Jeff is a legendary TSR artist from back in the day. And,
back in the day, the AD&D days.
The AD&D days. I was in junior high back then, sir.
So, for you?
Back in the day for me. But Jeff has released a new game, and we demoed it on this podcast a few months back, and it was a... incredible jiggling mound of fun. It was really great. It was called Cave Master, and I understand that's the Habilis system, right?
Yes, the Habilis system is the in joke is we claim that it's an archaeological reconstruction of the role playing game system originally used by our ancient Homo Habilis ancestors about 1 million years ago.
Kind of like the Hero system. Different thing, no?
Wow. Imagine trying to play the Hero system without paper, without pencils, without dice.
Without a calculator and some algebra knowledge, yeah.
If you need an entire cave just to record your character, you know, it just record his abilities and stuff.
And that is high-quality superhero role-playing action. but let's talk about it. So when we demoed it, I mean, basically, a lot of it you just do with stones in your hand, right?
Yeah, the basic mechanic is you have have stones on your character skin that are arranged in little groups representing different character abilities, and you pick them up, and when you're going to do something, you pick up the relevant stones, and some stones also represent bonuses at certain kinds of activities. Like anybody can try to hit anybody else with a club. But if you have the warrior profession, you have stones in that. You get to add those to your total. But you take what are called your core stones, split them up between your two hands secretly, so the cave master can't see, and then he picks up the stones for whoever you're trying to hit, and splits them secretly between his hands, and then you each pick one of the other person's hands and reveal the stones in it, add your bonuses, and whoever scores highest wins. Or succeeds, yeah. Right? If it's combat, the success margin is the amount of damage you do. You know, for a lot of other tasks, it's just if you score at least one stone, you're successful.
All right, cool. And this has been extensively playtested, and there was Kickstarter for it. And I understand we're talking today because it's actually out. People can buy it now.
It is out. The book came out a few weeks ago. You can buy it at the moment on Lulu. And the PDF is available through RPG Now. Our company is Unigames. That's U-N-I-G-A-M-E-S. If you search for us on either of those two sites, you'll find our stuff. And I guess I can, since I got the signed contract this morning, we have just signed a deal with Angus Abramson of Chronicle City to distribute Cave Master to stores. So in a few months, you'll be able to pick it up at your favorite local gaming shop.
Nice. So we're going to do any... I know in the Kickstarter, you guys had like a peripheral dice bag with runes in it and stuff like that. Are we going to be doing any of that stuff or just the book?
We don't have a way of mass producing that. And, you know, we're sort of tentatively saying, yeah, you can still get them from us. But if there's a flood of people wanting them, they're kind of labor intensive. So I don't know. We probably will always have some with us when we go to conventions, but I don't know if we'll make it a marketing thing. Maybe somebody out there that makes dice bags or things wants to contact us and go into the Cave Master bag of stones business.
Well, my little brother's out of a job.
Yeah?
Just saying.
That's your life. Go for it.
You know, one of the hardest parts of that is actually, you know, the stones in your bag are not like mass-produced, you know, glass beads or anything. These are actual stones. We go to the end of the street to the playground where they have gravel. That's one of the places we've gotten. So we've also bought a bag of gravel meant for the bottom of fish tanks. We went a number of different places trying to find a good source of proper-sized, proper-shaped rocks. And then we sit there manually going through these things, trying to pull out sets of, you know, similar-looking stones so we can put those in the bags. And that can take a lot of effort.
Boy, it sounds like it. Just out of curiosity, which settle on for the best supply for appropriate-sized rocks?
It really is a mix. We got them from a number of different places, and then we just kind of dumped them all together and went through them.
Okay, cool. Well, so Cave Master, they can find it on Lulu. Go to lulu.com and search for Cave Master. RPG.now, you can pick up. Oh, sorry, go ahead.
If they want the book, they should go to lulu.com and look for Unigames. And if they want the PDF, they can go to RPG.now. So Lulu is going to be going away in a few months, you know, once we have distribution through Chronicle City.
Okay, cool. And we'll look forward to that, maybe get you back on. Maybe we can get the both you and Angus back on to talk about that, because Chronicle City is a pretty exciting new enterprise of his, and we had him on previously to kind of gab about that. So
like getting let me hype one more thing about Cave Master. We have a pretty active Facebook group.
Really?
For the game, yeah. Over 50 members in it so far. It's Cave Master Space RPG is the name of the group.
So just search on, I'm on Facebook now, so Cave Master, hey, there it is, 50 members.
Uh-huh.
Well, cool, nifty. And, hey, miniatures.
Yes, I went, you know, we consider it our responsibility to try to, we know that caveman is kind of a fringe genre for RPGs, so we've made it our responsibility to go try to find sources of miniatures, you know, stuff like that to make it easier on people who want to get into this. And so one of the first things we did when we got the book out was order a few figures from a number of different manufacturers, and then I'm starting to paint them up now and show that. But mostly we want to let people know where they can get them and who makes good ones.
Oh, cool. All right, so just search for Cave Master Space RPG on Facebook, and you'll find the active and regularly updated group with all kinds of cool caveman stuff.
Yeah, you have to request membership, but you know, we respond to those pretty quickly.
Yeah, and I really like the caveman Swiss Army knife you got on there.
That was something some fan sent in. I have no idea where that picture's from, but it was neat.
Yep.
Well, that's one of the things about Cavemaster. You know, when we set out to make this game, we thought, well, we're not the first people to make a caveman role-playing game, but what all of the previous ones had in common is that they were funny. Intentionally, like, over-the-top, silly, funny. Oh, you have to, there's, you know, rules about limiting your use of language and all these things to kind of constrain the play to make it more amusing. Well, that's fine. The world has enough funny caveman role-playing games, so we decided we were going to do serious. And my partner, Tal Shamir Murr, who mostly did the background stuff, wanted to also not make it not just serious, but educational in a sense, right? So you'll find a lot of things in there about caveman equipment that go into quite a bit of detail about, you know, the lives that these people actually lived and what's important to them and what the, you know, what's valuable and what takes a lot of effort and all that kind of stuff. How did I start on this sentence?
We were talking about...
I was talking about how it's serious. The Swiss Army knife.
Yeah.
So, we also recognize the limitations of role-playing in a purely historical caveman game because there's a limit to what you could do. So we put a heavy emphasis on a range of different optional things, optional directions you can take the game. One is go ahead and have dinosaurs. We have stats for a wide range of different kinds of dinosaurs.
John asked this because I was doing Joy for RPG. They said it's speculative fiction, so I was going to say, is it going to be saber-toothed tigers and stuff roaming around?
Well, we had saber-toothed tigers are, you know, that's an obvious one because they were actually around in that time period. It's set roughly 10,000 years ago. But we also put in dinosaurs for the people that want to have a caveman fighting dinosaurs, though it's not historical. We put in time travelers. This is probably my favorite thing in the game is if you encounter a time traveler, they tend to be walking along these hovering silvery pathways floating through the air, and they're wearing like loud Hawaiian shirts and they have cameras. But and they're terrified of stepping off that walkway. But if you can induce one of them to step off the walkway, and particularly if you get them to like crush a butterfly, then they instantly disappear, as does the walkway, as if they had never been. It's hilarious.
nice Bradbury homage there, sir.
And we have you know, your ancient astronaut space aliens will come down and collect you and perform experiments on you if you want to do that. There is a spirit magic, like, you know, tribal, primitive religious belief-based magic system. And also inventing, which is where the Swiss Army knife comes in. The idea is we want people, if you run a long-standing Cape Master campaign, you should be having, like, you know, spring-loaded rock-throwing guns and gliders and all kinds of other crazy, wacky, primitive technologies going after a while.
Cool. I've probably said this before. It's the horrible thing my mind goes right to. It's a Doctor Who crossover. But
Doctor Who, sure, of course. He's a time traveler.
Yeah.
I'll write him up. I'm going to write him up and... I'll write up Doctor Who and put him in, post his stats on our Facebook group.
Nice, I'll join. I kind of want to play this now. Although I want to play the game anyway, because when we demoed it, and we don't have time today, unfortunately, because I'm on a lunch break from my soulless, meaningless day job. But yeah, that was a hell of a lot of fun when we demoed that. I can't wait to do it again. So
thank you.
So that is pretty cool. And now, in your role as a kind of an artist legend for TSR back in the day, you have been doing a series of Kickstarters where you recreate some of your art that was lost from the vaults of TSR products. And I believe you got another one coming up?
I do, almost certainly. I haven't announced it yet, and I'm still trying to decide whether it ought to be that AD&D book of non-player characters called Rogues Gallery.
Mm-hmm.
A lot of people remember those pictures, or whether I should do a collection of paintings from a number of different adventures. It's interesting, just in retrospect, maybe this was because of scheduling at the time, but my cover paintings tend to be on adventures that I didn't do a lot of interiors on. So I'm thinking of collecting those paintings up and doing that as one Kickstarter. I haven't decided yet, but, you know, I announce all this stuff on Facebook, on Google+, I tweet about it. So just folks pay attention to me on any of those places, they'll hear an announcement.
So hopefully in the next week you'll have some kind of an idea which way you're going on that one.
Yeah. And I'd love to hear feedback. Do you guys have an opinion?
Well, see, you're actually responsible for one of the covers of one of my most memorable classic D&D adventures, which is Isle of Dread. So,
Isle of Dread with the big.
So I love the Isle of Dread. I've gone out to buy a copy of the Isle of Dread and dug out this morning to check it was you, and it was okay. That's great. So yeah, so I'd love to see covers. Covers is good. So
yeah, that one was actually not a painting in a traditional sense. That was a line drawing
that
used, like Dr. Martin's dyes on that to color it, which is really, you know, I'm actually more comfortable with that than with paint. I could do it, but paints have never been my forte.
But you also did Barrier of Peace interiors, is that correct?
A what?
Expedition to the Barrier of Peace, you did the interiors for that as well?
Oh yeah, that was one of my recent Kickstarters. That one, I just shipped the art to the backers on that. And anybody who wants to see the art from these things, as I complete each picture, I immediately scan it and put it up on my DeviantArt page, which is jeffd.deviantart.com, where if you really want, if you missed the actual Kickstarter project, you can get prints off of DeviantArt.
Yeah, and I can attest that Jeff does what he says he'll do. I've got a print of Thor from his DeviantArt Kickstarter hanging up on my wall right now.
I've done so far, the first one was the Egyptian chapter of Deities and Demigods. Then I did Q1 Queen of the Demon Web Pits, which included one painting. I did the back cover of that one. Then I did the Norse chapter of Deities and Demigods. And then S3, Barrier Peaks. And now I'm doing the Melniboné chapter of the early editions of Deities and Demigods, because as you know, those were removed in later
Yeah, they're most
of them. I didn't know about that, so that one must have a copy that's much older than that then.
Yeah, the inside story is that Chaosium had contacted Michael Moorcock's agent and arranged to get the rights to that game world, that world setting, for their Elric game. And at the same time, TSR contacted Michael Moorcock directly and asked him for permission to do his stuff in Deities and Demigods, and he said, "Why, certainly." Not realizing that this was a conflict. Mm-hmm. So TSR and Chaosium talked, and Chaosium said, "Look, we don't have a problem if you want to include that stuff in your Book of Gods, as long as you include a credit inside the book saying if you want to play a full role-playing game based entirely on that universe, you know, you can find it from Chaosium." And TSR said, "Okay." And turned right around and published the book without any such thank you. And Chaosium, of course, turned around and said, "Hey, you know what? We have the rights to this and you don't, so screw you." And TSR did a second print run that does have a little thank you, but that was too little, too late, and all further printings of it, that stuff had to come out.
No disrespect to anybody, but... sounds like you hear a lot of those kind of stories about how TSR did business back in the day.
Well, it did, but they didn't. Clearly, it was more mistake than intentional harm.
Nope.
And, but I have my own issues with them. I left them at the company at one point, but I think most all of what they did that was dumb or silly was accidental.
Well, that's maybe as best as a...
not including throwing out all my originals, though. You can't do that by accident.
Yeah, that sounds pretty bad. Yeah.
But on the other hand, from the perspective 30 years later, looking back, I kind of, I'm thanking my lucky stars that they did that, because it's certainly given me an opportunity to recreate that stuff and bring it back to people in a form where, they can hang it on their wall.
That's pretty cool. So we're going to get a decision on that in the next week or so. And personally, I think I'd vote for the paintings. Adrian, is that your vote too?
Yeah.
But you want me to include the Isle of Dread in there, huh?
Oh, I feel like Dread would be great, yeah.
Okay, that's probably one of them. All right.
Hey, just a thought. You've had great luck with your Kickstarters, it seems. I think you've had like three or four, at least I'm aware of, and they've all been successful.
In addition to the TSR art recreation ones that I talked about, we also did Cave Master, and that got funded. And we just finished funding a conversion of my little game company, Unigames. 15 years ago, published a fantasy role playing game called Quicksilver using my own game system, and we're now working on a conversion to Pathfinder for that setting. So that was the most recent Kickstarter that we've done.
Do you have any advice for other people doing Kickstarters or lessons you've learned and pass on?
Only that you should, be really sure that your idea is something that a lot of people are going to want. And it's hard to be sure of that, but you have to figure out how to get sure of that and be right. And then you talk about it everywhere. I mean, to the point where you're certain that you're annoying people, and then a little bit more.
Yeah.
I hate that that's the right fact, but that does seem to be the way to get these things to go.
Well,
and also, do not ever become disillusioned or give up on your project just because it's 2 days away and you've only collected about a third of the pledges. That's what happened on my last one, my last TSR art one. It literally got down to the wire. It's like, how on earth am I going to get all these pledges in the next 2 days? And in they came, and in fact blew right past the goal and into the what they call stretch goals, where you add additional stuff. There were in all the Deities and Demigods art recreation projects, I have offered to do new illustrations for characters that didn't actually get them in the original print in the book.
Yeah, I've talked to a couple guys on Kickstarters who are kind of sweating it towards the end, and I'm like, yeah, I understand there's kind of a narrative here. People really like to be the hero who comes in at the end. I mean, people want to be the cavalry.
They do. There are people that want to jump in at the beginning, and there's people that want to that want to see that it's doing well before they jump in, and then they jump in at the end. And they're both perfectly valid audiences. I think I'm seeing, I don't know how much this will apply to anybody else, but I think that I'm seeing an additional phenomenon, which is once people get used to you as a guy that has done a series of Kickstarter projects, I think you tend to get more of your backing at the tail end. And I'm not quite sure why that is. Maybe folks are thinking, there's no pressure. I know this is going to succeed, and they don't bother putting their money in until last minute.
Hmm. Interesting. Well, next time I try one, I'll see if that happens. But
please don't do that. If you're listening to the sound of my voice and you want to back on my Kickstarter projects, please don't do that because it drives me freaking crazy.
Cool.
You don't want me to have a heart attack thinking that, oh my gosh, this project is going to fail.
Well, hey, let's talk art for a second.
Yeah.
Adrian, my co-host today, is an artist, and Jeff, obviously, you're an artist. Now, Adrian, you work mainly digitally these days, don't you?
Yeah, pretty much, yeah.
You're on
it? Pretty much anything I use, apart from that, it's all digital, yeah.
Yeah. Jeff, have you upgraded the new methods? Are you still rocking old school with pencil, pen and paper, or how do you...
I'm halfway into the digital world. I still do my drawing... And if there's inking, like a line art portion on paper, and then scan it, and if I need color, I do that in Photoshop.
Okay, cool. Do you have a tablet or something, or do you do it on your desktop?
I don't. I've never found a drawing tablet that I was satisfied with. I hear they're out there, but they cost more than I can afford, so. So far, no.
Well, maybe that's another Kickstarter goal. Sorry, trying to be funny.
I could include it as, well, in order to do this project, I'm going to have to acquire this Wacom tablet. You can do it that way, but you can't just launch a Kickstarter project and say, I need this fancy piece of equipment, everybody throw money at me.
Yeah, that I guess
rules.
I saw one time where a guy was doing a Kickstarter for lockpicks. And lockpicking, training. And
Yeah,
it's, apparently there's people who out there, their whole hobby is learning how to pick locks. And this guy was selling trainer kits. And as part of the Kickstarter, there was the money for him to buy the machining tools to build the lockpicking kits.
Yeah, that's perfectly legitimate. And as long as people believe that once you have that equipment, you'll actually do it.
Yeah. I think kind of, I found him through Fred Hicks' blog because he was being pointed out as, you kind of get to the point where you get some of those Kickstarters with kind of clouds hanging overhead. And this guy gotten, like $20,000, and 6 months later he was writing a long update explaining why no one had their stuff yet.
And yeah. Well, that's another thing. I mean, I haven't really had that. Well, Cavemaster was quite late. It turned out to be... When I conceived of this little tiny game system with the rocks in your hands, I was thinking of a very small game. But my partner wanted to do this very detailed, very expansive, all-encompassing book about caveman role-playing. And so the document wound up being quite a bit larger than we had originally imagined. So it was late. But on the other hand, everybody got more than we led them to expect, so.
Yeah, there's a lot of scope creep that comes on with these kind of projects, it seems like.
Yeah, you got to be careful about that. And it's not a problem for my art projects, because I know exactly what it's going to be when I start.
Okay, cool. Well, hey, how have you seen the RPG business change? Because you've kind of been in it since the start.
I'm probably not the best person to ask, because I haven't worked inside a paper games publishing company since Fantasy Games Unlimited.
Okay.
Very early 80s. Everything, all of my involvement with paper games since then has been either, occasional contract jobs doing art or my own design and publishing endeavors through Unigames. And now Monkey House Games, just doing the Villains of July stuff.
Oh, how's that going?
Fine.
Oh, okay, cool, cool. Any new V&V products you want to pimp or talk about?
We have not got anything announced at the moment.
Okay, all right, cool, cool. I'll throw it out there. Well, yeah. I've got to get back to Cubicle Land. Adrian, did you have any questions or things you wanted to throw out?
Oh, well, basically, what I was going to ask about Vigilante is actually because I was wondering if the stuff that's actually been released on drive-through and whatever is actually like old stuff that you've been put into PDFs, or was it new stuff? Or I never actually saw the original game itself. I was aware of it. I was playing like the old TSR Marvel stuff at the time. So
right. Monkey House Games is doing all new material.
Excellent. So if it was been a system I've always been kind of interested in, so I thought that's pretty, that's cool. Excellent.
Thank you. We did a version 2.1, which is a slight upgrade of the 1982 edition, mostly, you know, typos and a little bit of new material. And the website for that is monkeyhousegames.com.
Cool. Now, I know there's a legal battle, but we won't need to go into that on that one.
Yeah, nothing to report on that.
Yeah, yeah. That was unfortunate. We became aware of the new V&V stuff a few years ago was a lot of forum, a lot of flame wars on forums about who was right and wrong, and it was very, very nasty business.
Yeah, that was unfortunate.
Yeah. Hopefully it can be behind us soon enough. So, well, guys, I really appreciate both your time. I'll try to get this podcast up in the next day or two. Anything else you want to talk about before we call it a podcast?
Oh, good gracious. No, I think we've covered everything that I wanted to
question. Hey, Mark.
Yeah.
Have you got the rules for Raquel Welch in it?
The rules for Raquel Welch? What do you mean?
Yeah.
We have... Well, when you make a character, you can be of a Cro-Magnon kind of breed, so that's you could do that, and you can be a female, so you could do that, and every character has a beginning character has a job and a perk, and among the perks there is the I don't think we call it sexy, but there's the sex appeal. Perk, which will make you more capable of enticing other cavemen. So, yeah, you could beg Raquel Welch if you want. You want me to put her stats up alongside Doctor Who?
Yeah, that'd be quite cool.
You know, Doctor Who's not going to be interested in that way.
Very nice, very nice. Well, hey, guys, I appreciate your time. And to the listeners out there, we will see you next time on the Banff Podcast.